Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Boom Bubbles and the End of Stagnation is a 2024 nonfiction book by Bernd Hobart and Tobias Huber that examines why periods of speculative excess can sometimes accelerate real technological progress, rather than treating bubbles only as market failures. The authors argue that certain bubbles create unusual conditions for breakthroughs by lowering capital costs, attracting talent, and suspending normal institutional caution. The book is positioned at the intersection of economics, innovation policy, and history, and it uses examples such as railroads, electricity, the internet, the Manhattan Project, Apollo, and contemporary artificial intelligence to explain how transformative change often arrives through concentrated bursts of funding and ambition. Its purpose is not to defend irrational investing in general, but to distinguish between bubbles that simply destroy value and those that leave behind durable infrastructure, knowledge, and capabilities. The result is a provocative argument about stagnation, progress, and the hidden role of speculation in modern development. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, why the book separates destructive bubbles from progress-producing ones. A central contribution of the book is its distinction between mean reversion bubbles and inflection bubbles. Mean reversion bubbles are speculative surges built on empty promises that eventually collapse without leaving much behind. Inflection bubbles, by contrast, surround technologies with genuine long-term potential and therefore accelerate the path from invention to adoption. This distinction matters because it prevents a simplistic view that all bubbles are equally harmful. The authors argue that when the underlying technology is real, inflated expectations can still perform a useful economic function by mobilizing capital faster than sober markets usually would. In that sense, the bubble is not the achievement itself, but the financing mechanism that allows the achievement to happen sooner. The idea reframes excess speculation as a historical phase that can accompany genuine industrial and scientific transitions. It also introduces a more nuanced standard for judgment. The relevant question is not whether a market is irrational in the short run, but whether the frenzy leaves behind productive assets, technical learning, and scalable infrastructure. Secondly, how large, mission-driven funding changes what innovators can attempt. The book argues that breakthrough innovation often requires a funding environment that normal institutions are reluctant to provide. In ordinary settings, researchers and founders face pressure to prove short-term returns, reduce variance, and avoid visible failure. Bubbles relax those constraints by making capital unusually abundant and by funding many attempts at once. This is important because transformative technologies rarely emerge from one perfect plan. They emerge from repeated experimentation under conditions where failure is affordable. The authors repeatedly point to historical moments such as Apollo, the Manhattan Project, and the early semiconductor industry, where extraordinary financing supported work that would have looked reckless under normal accounting standards. Their broader point is that financial exuberance can lower the cost of capital enough to enable scale before certainty exists. That scale then helps the technology mature, reach markets, and become genuinely useful. The book does not claim every expensive experiment is worthwhile, but it argues that societies often underestimate how much progress depends on temporarily relaxing the usual discipline of capital allocation. Thirdly, unified purpose as a substitute for normal bureaucratic control. Another important theme is that bubbles do more than supply money. They also create coherence. The authors emphasize that the most productive episodes of rapid innovation are usually organized around a strong shared mission, whether it is landing on the moon, winning a war, or building a new technological platform. A unified objective lets participants tolerate ambiguity, coordinate across disciplines, and keep moving without waiting for perfect consensus. This matters because many modern institutions are fragmented by committees, compliance systems, and narrow specialization, all of which make ambitious work harder to organize. In the book, poor accountability is not presented as a virtue in itself, but as a sign that unusual projects often need protection from normal organizational friction. The argument is that the best parts of bubble-era coordination are not the speculative narratives alone, but the way those narratives collapse many smaller goals into one overriding target. That can produce speed, focus, and tolerance for risk that routine institutions rarely achieve. The authors use this logic to explain why major technological leaps often cluster in environments that look inefficient from the standpoint of ordinary bureaucracy. Fourthly, stagnation, risk aversion, and the institutional barriers to discovery, Boom is also a critique of the contemporary systems that, in the author's view, slow scientific and technological advancement. They argue that modern research and innovation are constrained by risk aversion, bureaucratization, and hyper-specialization. Funding structures reward incremental work that can be justified in advance. While peer review and administrative oversight often discourage projects that are unconventional or uncertain, at the same time, the growing burden of knowledge forces researchers into narrower fields, making it harder to see cross-disciplinary opportunities. The book suggests that these trends help explain why progress can feel slower even as human knowledge expands. Its broader thesis is that stagnation is not only a technical problem, but an organizational one. Institutions designed to reduce failure often also reduce discovery. By contrasting this environment with bubble-driven episodes of rapid investment, the authors show why many important breakthroughs require a temporary suspension of normal caution. This section of the book is especially useful because it connects macroeconomic history to the everyday realities of science, academia, and industry, showing how incentives and structures can shape the pace of innovation. Lastly, what the book implies for AI, investing, and public policy. The book is highly relevant to debates about artificial intelligence because it treats AI as a plausible inflection bubble. The authors and reviewers suggest that, like earlier technology booms, AI may require enormous speculative capital before its full social value becomes clear. Their view is not that investors will necessarily profit from the bubble, but that society may still benefit if the bubble rapidly expands the technological frontier. This is an important practical distinction. The winners of a bubble and the beneficiaries of its infrastructure are not always the same people. For investors, the lesson is to understand that being directionally right about a technology does not guarantee financial gains if valuations outrun fundamentals. For policymakers, the book raises a harder question about whether institutions should always try to suppress speculative excess, or whether some excess is a tolerable price for faster progress. The authors lean toward the second view in cases where the underlying technology is transformative. That makes the book especially relevant to anyone thinking about how to balance prudence, innovation, and national competitiveness in an era of rapid technological change. In conclusion, Boom Bubbles and the End of Stagnation should be read by investors, entrepreneurs, economists, technologists, and policy readers who want a more serious account of how major innovations actually get funded and scaled. Its main value is that it challenges the default assumption that speculation is only wasteful. Instead, it argues that some bubbles function as an accelerant for genuine progress, especially when they concentrate capital, talent, and attention on technologies that can reshape society. Readers who are interested in AI, industrial history, or the causes of modern stagnation will find the book especially relevant because it links abstract market behavior to concrete outcomes in infrastructure and scientific. What makes it stand out from other books on bubbles or innovation is its refusal to stay inside one discipline. It combines economic reasoning, historical comparison, and philosophical framing to make a broader argument about progress itself. Even readers who do not agree with every conclusion will benefit from the book because it offers a disciplined way to think about when exuberance is dangerous and when it may be the mechanism that brings transformative change forward. If you would like to support Bern Hobart, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.